Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you here on this midweek, and so much to discuss here on the podcast today. Podcast, by the way, presented by our friends at Outdoors Inc. and by SeatGeek. So let's delve into, here's kind of the menu that we're going to get into today. We're going to talk about where things stand with Jermichael Green. We're going to talk about Ivan Rabb. We're going to talk about the Grizzlies' financial situation going forward, and the ownership, I don't know if instability is the right word, but there definitely are some questions all over the place with regard to Robert Pera, with regard to Stephen Kaplan, with regard to the buy-sell measure, with regard to some rather interesting comments made by Ron Tillery, the beat writer of the Grizzlies, on my radio show earlier on Wednesday regarding what would happen if Kaplan bought the team. So a lot to discuss. We're going to do all of that here over the next few minutes. Again, as I mentioned, brought to you by Outdoors Inc. Since 1974, they're powering human-powered recreation, which means you using your feet, using your body, having fun outside. Man, this is, at least around here in the Memphis area, it doesn't feel like fall yet, but fall is coming, which to me is a great time to go and get outside. My wife and I went canoeing down the old Jack's Fork River in the Missouri Boot Hill, which was a lot of fun. When you do stuff like that, you get outside, get the kids outside, you want to be equipped properly. You want to have the right gear. You want to have the right camping gear if you're going to go camping. You want to have outerwear. You want to make sure that you've got everything taken care of, because it's really important for you to have that stuff. And they've got you at Outdoors Inc. They got you covered. And they know what they're talking about. They know what they're going to do for you. The cool thing about Outdoors Inc. is that they've been doing this for so long, and really a lot of the same people have been doing this at Outdoors Inc. They love it like you do. They're passionate about it like you are. So you're going to find someone at one of their 5 great area locations that's going to be your kind of person. And they're going to be able to help you with your outerwear, with your footwear, with your bike, with your climbing gear, whatever it is. You name it, they've got you covered over at Outdoors Inc. And if you go to the website, outdoorsinc.com, you make any purchase there, use the promo code LOGRIZZLIES. When you go to checkout, you'll see a little space for the promo code. Type in LOGRIZZLIES, and you're going to save 10% off your entire order. 10% just for typing LOGRIZZLIES. That's crazy. And you support the pod, and you support yourself, and you getting great gear. It's a triple win. Just do it, and you're going to love it. You'll thank me for it later. It is Outdoors Inc. They're awesome. Check them out. Again, outdoorsinc.com. 5 great locations in the Memphis area, including Jackson, and online at outdoorsinc.com. Use that promo code LOGRIZZLIES. All right, let's start with the stuff that we kind of know about. Grizzlies have signed Ivan Rabb to a 3-year deal. It's not official yet. It's been reported in a number of different areas, and it is essentially done. Has not been officially announced, but it is a 3-year deal, 2 years guaranteed from Rabb. And there was some uncertainty, as we talked about. By far the last second-round pick to have anything happen, and a lot of questions reasonably asked about what exactly was going on with the deal, with his ankle, with all of that stuff. And the ankle is still very much a question, but from a contract standpoint, and I had a lot of people, you know, tweet me and talk to me about, you know, what their options were. But the truth is, they didn't have that many great options. I mean, if you draft a guy, you don't keep his rights indefinitely and just by not doing anything. If they didn't sign him, they would lose his rights. Or didn't do something, find some other agreement, they would lose those rights going into next draft. You can't just draft a guy and hang on to him and not let him do anything else. He would have had to sign overseas, which he showed no interest in doing. That's his prerogative. He would have had to sign some kind of a domestic stash deal, like a G League deal. He showed no interest in doing that. A two-way deal, that was never going to happen. So that left either the existing regular NBA contract, which he ultimately ended up signing, or nothing. And he kind of had him over a barrel there. You can't draft a guy and then just not do anything with him. So this was going to get done. And his agent, Aaron Goodwin, is He's been around the league. He's not a guy that's going to take no for an answer. He knew that the Grizzlies in that similar draft position had given Deontay Davis a guaranteed 3-year deal and the most lucrative second-round deal that was ever given at that point. And he wanted something similar. And he was going to keep the feet to the fire in order to get that for his guy. And that's what he ended up getting for Rab. Now, Rab being signed is more, to me, much more of a problem for Jarrell Martin. It's bad enough when they signed Vince Hunter to the two-way deal and, you know, all of that stuff. But when you get Rab in the fold now officially and you still have Jermichael Green yet to go, then to me, Jarrell Martin is all but cut already. I would go ahead and I'd just mark him right off my roster if I were you. Just take your roster right now. I know all of you are listening with a roster in your hand, as you should. Take your roster, take a Sharpie, and just mark right through Jarrell Martin because he is almost certain to be cut. That would leave two other cuts that would have to be made, or trades or some other movement that would have to happen to open up those spots by the end of training camp when you have to get down to 15. So the question remains from that perspective, can they get something else done? Can they do something in that situation that would allow for them to avoid having to make those cuts and eating that money? There is the thought out there that there is perhaps a trade that could be made into some space for a guy like Troy Daniels, who still has value as a specialty shooter. Maybe you could find a team to take him into an exception or something to that effect. That's probably out there as a possibility. I don't know that you'd have to just straight cut Troy Daniels. I think he's probably got enough value that would be worthwhile to explore those options. But to me, the guys that are the most likely to be cut, if you have to cut three, are Jarrell Martin, Andrew Harrison, and Troy Daniels. That they would be the ones that would be gone just because of positionally and who else is out there and all that sort of thing. So Rab signing is good. It's good to get that out of the way. And they obviously have high hopes when they drafted him for what it is that he's going to be able to provide in that situation. But I will say that he's going to have to show that he can stay healthy. He's going to have to show that he can produce a little bit, I would think, because he's going to spend some time down in South Haven, as most of those guys are. But there is still a hole in the backup big position. And if Deontay Davis can't fill it, and if Brandon Wright, they can't figure out what they're going to do with Brandon Wright. I mean, somebody's going to have to jump up and fill that role. And Rab could have that opportunity. I think there is that spot for him. So he's probably got a little more of an eye on performance this year than maybe some guys have had in years past with the Grizzlies, particularly last year when you have Zach coming off the bench. You know, you're not going to see much from those other guys. One guy you should see a lot from is Jermichael Green, presumably, but that still is a question that's kind of hanging out there unanswered as far as his contract is concerned. Interesting little side note or a talking point from that contract would be a little bit of a shock, well, a lot of a shock, really, from Denver, where Mason Plumlee and the Nuggets agreed to a 3-year, $41 million deal. Plumlee, a very similar situation as a restricted free agent. The market not so great for a restricted free agent bigs these days, nor has it been really at any point in the summer. You've seen the issues with Nerlens Noel, who ends up playing for the qualifying offer, and you would have thought that Plumlee would have ended up kind of in a similar spot. His qualifying offer bigger than Jermichael Green's. I think Plumlee's would have been like $4.1 million. Jermichael's looking at a $2.8 million qualifying offer if that's the way that it goes. But then out of nowhere, Plumlee gets this 3-year, $41 million deal, a deal seemingly much bigger than the market would have allowed for. So something strange happened. His agent has done a hell of a job. And if I'm Jermichael Green, I'm on the phone right now with my guy saying, "Well, this is the market. This is the new market. Let's get it." Complicates things a little bit, I would think, because to me, this was kind of headed towards, maybe they get the 2-year deal that we've talked about, but maybe a little bit of a kind of a compromise deal. Get a little bit of assurance in that stretch of time, but maybe not, you know, 4 years the way that, that Jermichael might have wanted. Now, you know, with a 3-year deal from Plumlee, a 3-year deal has to be on the table again for Jermichael, bigger money. Because if you look at Mason Plumlee versus Jermichael Green, different sorts of bigs, but I mean, similar in terms of talent, similar in terms of stature, I would say. I mean, statistically, you know, they do different things, but I mean, they are, Plumlee is certainly not better significantly than Jermichael Green. You could make the argument, and I probably would, that Jermichael's better than Mason Plumlee. It's different. Again, it's, they're quite different, and they're asked to do different things. So it's not apples to apples. But nonetheless, it's still a big, it's still a restricted free agent, it's still that situation. And now, what do the Grizzlies do? Does this send things back to the drawing board on the eve of the season? Does this send things back to the drawing board where you say, all this stuff that we had talked about, all this idea of maybe going in with the qualifying offer or some other compromise deal, now we have to kind of rip that stuff up because, look, here's the new market. Here's what the market says. Or is that a one-off? Is that treated as nothing and, you know, they're right back where they started? I think the end of the day, it would behoove, to me, it would behoove the Grizzlies, if you plan on being, trying to be competitive for the next 2 or 3 years, which seems to be the case with Mark Steele, Mike Steele, and all that, then you may as well align Jermichael Green's contract with all of those guys, at least 2 years, so that you can try to compete. And then after that, once Chandler Parsons' deal comes off the books, once Marc Gasol has that player option, which he may or may not take, then you'd have Jermichael's deal off the books as well, 1 year left of Mike Conley at that point, and you can have a pretty clear cap sheet going into whatever it is that you're going to do rebuild-wise. You know, maybe you can be a free agent player, however you want to handle it, you at least have an opportunity at that point to get those deals off your books. So that would make more sense to me. If you play for the qualifying offer, it's a short-term solution, but long-term, if Jermichael has another good year, and if it's an acrimonious discussion, you know, then what do you do after that? You know, where do you go with that negotiation? Because he then would be an unrestricted free agent and could leave, and maybe would be more likely to leave. And where would you find, even in the market, somebody to replace him? Well, where would you replace him for? You'd have to hope for, you know, Rab or Deonte Davis or, you know, one of your young players to step up, or you'd have to see, you know, Chandler Parsons play more of that stretch four, you know, something like that long term to replace him. I think it would behoove everyone to get that deal. I think it'd be good on both sides, for Jermichael and for the Grizzlies, to get that deal done so that you can have a little assurance going forward. I think a 2-year deal, 3-year deal would make a lot of sense. And maybe it will come down to the very, very last minute. That has happened before with these sorts of negotiations. There's no need to do it right at this moment. There hasn't been any need to do it throughout the summer other than just to go ahead and get the thing taken care of. But it's a very interesting situation for Jermichael and for the Grizzlies that's made more complicated by what happened with Mason Plumlee. Before we go any further, let me tell you about our friends over at SeatGeek. SeatGeek's awesome. That's just the bottom line. SeatGeek is tremendous. And for those of you that are looking for tickets to shows, you got to start and you'll end with SeatGeek. You don't have to go scour a whole bunch of sites. They do it for you. They have the proprietary software. It's super easy to use. They use it all the time. You download it to your phone, Android, iPhone, whatever. Get in the App Store. It's free. And you have a really simple interface that shows you the seating chart, shows you everything that you're looking for. And most importantly, it shows you on that seating chart exactly where your ticket's going to be, and here's the cool part, whether you're getting a great price. If you see a green circle, that means go. Great price. They've used their proprietary algorithms to scour all those buying sites that are out there, selling sites, and it's a great deal. So the market says that's a good deal. Jump on it. Knock it out. Take care of it. And if you see the red, then you know maybe it's not the greatest deal. You can still buy it and still do it, but it's maybe not the best deal that's out there. Well, I'll tell you what, let them take care of all that work for you. So you know, top to bottom, you know exactly what's happening out there in the market, and you can make that decision to buy your tickets with the full knowledge and the super easy use. And here's the best part. If you use the promo code LONBA, you're going to save $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. How about that? You get $20 back.
It's that easy. Just use the promo code L-O-N-B-A. L-O-N-B-A. There's a little settings tab on the left side of the app. As you look, you'll be able to click there and then tap on the promo code, type in L-O-N-B-A, and you're set. SeatGeek gets you squared away. You're going to love it. It's terrific. It is SeatGeek. I use it. You need to use it too. Download the app. Use promo code L-O-N-B-A with SeatGeek. Now remember, coming up, we've got a whole lot to get into. We've got a ton over the next week or so, because remember, Media Day for the Grizzlies is this coming Monday, the 25th of September. That's actually most media days around the NBA. And that means everyone's coming back. That means it's time to talk. That means we're going to start bumping up our Locked On Grizzlies episode count and start getting you set for the season, because it's a week or so after that that the first preseason game hits, and we are just about ready to really get going with the season. So it feels like it's kind of snuck up on us a little bit because, you know, the season, first of all, the season and this off season has dragged on because of this Jermichael Green stuff and Mark playing overseas and Eurobasket. There's been a lot of interesting issues, and one more that we're going to get into in just a second. But it kind of feels like we've had a weirdly dragged out and involved off season. So the fact that the season itself is actually right around the corner and training camp is next week is, I don't know about you, but it's kind of a little bit shocking to me. So we are going to have, but I'll have lots and lots and lots of good stuff from Media Day for all of you guys. I think you're going to enjoy it. So thank you for downloading the podcast. And if you have not downloaded, subscribed yet, subscribe now. Get in on this season before we get going. I want to say a big thank you again to Outdoors Inc. for their continued sponsorship of the pod. Any of you that have great business out there and you love the Grizzlies and you love this pod, you want to get in touch with me to help me bring this to you, then please, by all means, do so. You can email me, pedmiston, that's P-E-D-M-I-S-T-O-N, @gmail.com. That's the best way to get in touch with me, and we can get you all the information that you need to get started. Now, one last thing on today's show, and a big one. I don't know. We're not turning this thing into damn CNBC and financial analysis, so I'm not going to get into the merit or lack thereof of the piece that was published. For those that didn't see it, Citron Research and a guy named Andrew Left, who is a noted short seller and a guy that has made a lot of money in short selling, that is to say borrowing money to buy a stock, hoping that that stock will end up tanking so that you can then make all of that money back and then some on the downside of that deal. Short selling is perfectly legal and happens all the time in the stock world. But short selling with then the proviso that you send out information to try to affect the value of the stock, that's a different matter, and that's what he does. And so this week, Robert Pera's ubiquity has been in the crosshairs of this guy, and in a rather incendiary piece that makes a lot of claims, including that ubiquity is essentially a fraud, that there's no products there, and so on and so forth, with some claims that are interesting. Many of them have been, to some extent, debunked. Others could well be. Robert Pera was concerned enough about it himself to go on Twitter and answer questions about ubiquity, not about the Grizzlies. And believe me, as you know, if you follow me, I asked. And Robert Pera chose not to exercise his right to answer those questions about the Grizzlies from me or from anyone else, for that matter. So that was interesting. I would have liked to have seen him do that. He pledged in a Twitter Q&A on, it was May 25th, 2014, for those of you that want the exact date. So that's more than 3 years ago. He pledged to be more transparent as much as is possible. And since then, it has been radio silence. There has been no transparency. Well, transparency, at least to the extent that, as my Twitter friend at Ball From Grace said, he's so transparent that you actually can't see him at all. So I guess in that sense, it's true. He's been very transparent. Would like to see a little more, a little less transparency then in that case. But there's nothing from him on the Grizzlies on that front. And it all kind of comes about because of this looming buy-sell situation with Steve Kaplan and Daniel Strauss that is set to potentially be exercised next month. That is a that's a big deal, potentially, for the Grizzlies, because as Ron Tillery talked about on my radio show earlier on Wednesday, his prediction was that if Steve Kaplan gets that control, then he would move the team to Seattle. Well, there are many obstacles in the way of such a move. It is not a foregone conclusion that that could even legally be done before a certain time. There's a lease that the Grizzlies have with the city of Memphis. There's a FedEx Forum lease that's involved. There are debt issues. There are agreements with local owners. There's all kinds of things that are impediments to any such situation, and those would have to be explored. A lot of questions still left to be answered about all of that stuff when and if such a thing happens. But the stuff about the Citron Research stuff, it's interesting that it comes out at this time when the money presumably that Robert Pera would be tapping into if he were to buy the team, and the buy-sell measure, essentially, as I understand it, based on reporting from a few years ago from Zach Lowe and others, that it would be something to the effect of if, you know, Steve Kaplan and Strauss could set up a value for the shares of their Grizzlies ownership. They could set that value, whatever that value is, and that value, Pera could say at that point, okay, that's too much. I will sell it to you at that price. They would be obligated to pay that price for those shares. Or on the other hand, if they set the price and it's a low enough price that Pera likes it, he said, okay, I will buy you out at those shares, and they would have to then buy out at those shares. So it's no guarantee that that Kaplan would end up with control, or Pera, or anyone else. This is an option. It's not an obligation. They don't have to exercise it at all. So a lot of questions about that whole process. And then what would happen? You're putting the cart way, way, way before the horse when you start to get into any of that stuff. I just found it very interesting that was the comment, that was the thought. And Seattle is a concern. You know, there's always been a lot of people around Memphis, myself included, who are always a little paranoid about Major League sports in the town. You know, there are always people locally that just worry about what's going to happen. And when the Grizzlies were transferred to Robert Pera, the deal they signed, a 17-year lease, seemed to put a lot of that to rest. But a lot of the financial penalties that would eventually accrue later on in this deal are not nearly as onerous as they were because of the value of the franchise going up. You know, all these franchise values that we talked about with the Clippers and the Rockets being sold for over $2 billion each, with other teams that are being sold, you know the money is going to go up, up, up in those situations. Well, that can help to offset a lot of costs that might have looked a lot bigger in 2012 than they do in 2017. And if you have a city like Seattle that's pledged now to build an arena, that's a threat. The best case scenario, I think, for the Grizzlies would be if the NBA decides to expand and just to open up another franchise in Seattle, and that way you get that knocked out and you take care of that threat and you're good to go. Otherwise, I think it's always going to be kind of a looming threat because of the market. And you couple that with the information and the report that Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe released via ESPN, Tuesday, earlier this week, about the operating losses on a year-to-year basis from the Grizzlies that are the biggest in the league. They showed a loss of $40 million that was offset by $32 million in revenue sharing, which cut that number down quite a bit, but that's still a significant operating loss. And you wonder, you know, long-term, how viable is Memphis as a market if you've got a really good team with a payroll that, you know, they were a top five payroll team and stars, grit and grind and all that stuff, and you're still struggling that much financially, then it makes you wonder the viability of the team when you start spending in huge cap numbers. And does that then mean they have to really keep an eye on the payroll and lower it? Now, you know, this means that they're never going to be a taxpayer, because being a taxpayer
you would forego a big chunk of your revenue sharing, which is just a non-starter for the Grizzlies. So they're not going to do that. But do they then have to back down just in general, back down on the payroll all the way around? Is that too much? Is it viable? Are they willing to absorb those losses for short and long term time? Is the fact that the revenue sharing, does that offset it enough where you can tolerate $8 to $10 million or whatever the loss would be on a yearly basis? That's fine because the asset value is going up, franchise value is going up, and you're willing to pay that in order to be competitive in the NBA. I the answer to those questions is still up in the air, but you bring all these things together and it makes for a very interesting and a little scary, honestly, next few weeks for Grizzly fans as you kind of try to assess and figure out the long-term future of the team. All the noises from within the organization are still very positive. There's no need to worry. The lease is rock solid. Everything's good to go. That's the noises from within. And that's certainly, there's nothing out there right now that would indicate that that's wrong. But there's always these looming threats. And if you're in the city of Memphis, especially, you're always just a little wary of this stuff. It's always been a thing. If you're a Memphis person, a lot of you listening are Grizzly fans that aren't from Memphis. And that may be hard to understand, but if you're listening and you're from Memphis, you live here, then you've known that that's been kind of the thought for a long time, is that it's always, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're always waiting for the bad news. So this stuff makes people a little bit wary. There'll be more to report on this. We'll bring it to you over the next weeks or so. This could be a tempest in a teapot, could be much ado about nothing, or there could be something there. Time will tell how serious or not serious this whole situation is. I don't think it's anything for people to get alarmed about. Don't freak out. It's nothing actionable or anything like that. At this stage, it is something to keep an eye on and just kind of monitor, and that's what we're going to do here on Locked on Grizzlies. Thanks so much for being a part of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Reviews are really appreciated, especially if they're 5-star reviews. That helps us so much. Thanks for supporting our sponsors, Outdoors Inc. and SeatGeek. Thanks to Locked on Podcast Network for some more great work. And thanks, of course, to all of you guys for being part of the pod. Any questions, hit me up on email, pedmiston@gmail.com, or on Twitter. I am @PeterEdmiston. Of course, you can listen to me on the air each and every weekday, 7 to 10 on Sports 56 and 87.7 FM locally, and at sports56whbq.com on the web. So lots of ways to get in touch and to listen. I would appreciate if you would reach out and just say hello. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again later on in the week. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.